We very much appreciate you,
Hello.
But I'm sorry, no intro.
That's okay. I'm Jeffrey Kreisman. I'm the public health informatics scientist for Southern Nevada Health District. I'm going to introduce to you today, and while I'm here to speak to you about ELR, this goes far beyond the scope of ELR. This is really electronic messaging. This is not just electronic laboratory reporting, but supplemental information that we would get from any of our data providers, et cetera. We all know our history. I mean, we've been using antiquated technologies, email, phone calls, et cetera, and while nothing replaces the astute clinician picking up the phone and calling us, we're looking to enhance our ELR capabilities. And unfortunately, to date, a lot of the products that we've had in place, FinMS, a lot of the transport mechanisms, et cetera, have only got us part of the way. And this solution that I'm going to demonstrate today actually gets us, all the way from any different type of messaging protocol all the way through standardization, normalization, et cetera, and consumption into a number of different systems. So when we looked at this architecture, we wanted it to be a plug-and-play environment. Is anybody here familiar with USB? Mm-hmm. Is everybody? Okay, good. You should be. And what this architecture is a very plug-and-play, device-oriented, service bus-oriented architecture that allows us to focus on the study and practice of epidemiology, not necessarily the office of epidemiology. So to do that, there are several core components that actually have to be utilized in this. So we've got our electronic laboratory reporting, where I'm going to call messaging from this point forward, a warehouse for epidemiology, the data marts, and all the different transformations of all of that data, and finally into analysis, visualization, reporting. Today we're going to focus on the messaging component specifically, and the open source components of this architecture that actually make up the foundation pieces. So as you'll see here, the stack is basically built on three fundamental pieces and then tied together through web services, a comprehensive web service tier, and the Java programming language, application servers, etc. But MIRTH is an integration engine very much like Rhapsody. This is an open source project. I can't stress that enough, and this is a womb-to-tomb, start-to-finish solution for electronic messaging. And MIRTH is actually that foundation piece that actually allows us to move the messages through that pipeline. Apollon is a terminology server. Now, while most of you may or may not be familiar with the terminology server, we actually build the ontologies that you actually implement into the terminology server for standardization of nomenclature. And then Drules is a rules repository and execution engine that allows us to author rules and execute them within this pipeline. So now while this is loosely coupled, you can very easily utilize any other different types of components in this because everything's exposed via a web service tier. You could replace the business intelligence unit with SAS. You could actually utilize, instead of AVR, you could use a Crystal Reports reporting engine, etc. Very easily decoupled. One of the things that we're looking at currently is the integration of MPI, and it's very important in the process of ELR, which I'll get into in a second, but the master patient index really isn't a master patient index. It's really a master entity index, and our entity is actually a characteristic-based entity, so you can have a type of person. You can have a type of animal, a type of place. So you really need to consider that when you're looking at all of your master patient indexes and implementation. Okay, and again, this is loosely coupled, so if you wanted to replace MIRTH as your integration engine of choice, you could use Rhapsody within the pipeline. So we're going to talk about specifically the messaging bus and ELR, and this talk is at 10,000-foot view, and if you want me to get more technical, I'm happy to do so. I can dive into the weeds, but I'm not sure how many of you are informaticians in the audience, programmers. Okay, so very, very few, but how many are state level versus local level, out of curiosity? And that's state? Oh, wow, no locals. Okay, so yeah, I'm the lonely local here. Now, we at the local level do the brunt of the work, at least in Nevada. All of the laboratories are, in fact, reporting directly to us. We have 16 hospitals, numerous amounts of clinics, two state laboratories, one laboratory system, and several commercial laboratories. Now, the commercial laboratories make up about 80% of our reporting. But And what makes this fun is that each one of these components actually reports to us in a different syntax and a different nomenclature. And I'm sure all of you have had to deal with this. It gets very, very painful. And while I did hear some interesting talks this morning in regards to ELR and how to deal with these things, I think we've taken a unique approach. What we do is we take each one of these things, and we don't rely on the sender or the sending unit to actually take care of that business. We take care of it at our receiver end. So once these are actually dropped off into our centralized receiver, we actually have receiver channels, hopefully, that will actually take that message and normalize it. Okay, but what is normalization? So normalizing it, we utilize MIRTH to do the normalization, and normalization is done through a number of MIRTH channels. Are all of you familiar with Rhapsody and how Rhapsody works? And all okay, so I won't get into that. So specifically, this is just to show you, we have a variety of different types of messages that come into our pipeline. They can be pipe delimited, comma delimited, and I don't care. It can be any flavor of any type, and we have different, you know, specific channels for CSV conversion, HL7 23 to 25, or et cetera. So we have all sorts of different types of channels that are built. In this case, this is a quest, and it's obviously there's issues with completeness here and issues with data standards here because there's no LOINC or SNOMED codes incorporated into this message. But we bring it in and we build a BOD. And a BOD is a business object document, OAG, OASIS, W3C. It is a compliant messaging structure. We don't use HL7 internally to move our messages around because HL7 flavors change over time and they're not truly extensible. This is a truly extensible business object document that can be moved around an enterprise and is representative of a specific business task. This business task happens to be the transmission of an electronic laboratory report, but any business task within your organization can be represented by a BOD. And if you need further information, I'm happy to share that with you later. But as you see, we convert that, and you'll see the anti-HCV comes in, the positive value comes in, Quest Laboratories reported it, and you'd see all of their relevant information. And once it's in that normal form, from a maintenance standpoint now, it's much easier for us to deal with that one message type, that one message syntax, but now we have to take care of the standardization of terminologies. We utilize Apollon, which is an open source terminology server. We define all of the ontologies to map any of, you know, those distinct proprietary code sets that may exist in some of the laboratories. And we utilize this. Now, what you'll see here is this is a representation of an ontology. So I'm one of my colleagues, and I'm sorry I forgot your name, Mark. Mark actually had a presentation this morning on ELR and was talking specifically about the challenges in their implementation, and I thought it was actually a great presentation. And one of the ways that we took care of this was actually to define our own ontologies, because Quest does have 5 or 6 or 7 different satellites. Quest does not necessarily have one mothership that actually pushes down the terminologies, so they each individually have adopted code sets. So what we've done here is actually map those ontologies and those code sets. And in public health, we don't use the 60,000 code sets that are available. We use a very small subset typically. So we actually manage the exception, and we do reconciliation if we can't find a code. And that's all automated, so I can demonstrate that in a minute here. But this is actually showing you Quest and showing you the LOINC codes, the associated LOINC codes, you know, with the specimen, the test type, the methodology, et cetera, and results set. And then once that happens, it actually takes that name of that unstandardized Quest message and associates whatever the code set is necessary from LOINC or SNOMED. So once that happens and we have this message now in a normalized and standardized fashion, we can now do something with the message. And this is an enterprise solution. So we've thought about not only about the Office of Epidemiology as an endpoint, but all of the other endpoint consumers and routing that needs to take place within your enterprise. So for instance, you have a specific set that goes to OOE, a specific set that goes to your HIV, TB, et cetera. So these messages can go and be filtered and routed anywhere within your enterprise, you know, to an EHR, et cetera. And how we do that is actually we have a Drools rules repository. And Drools is an open source JBoss rules repository where you can actually do authoring and execution of rules. This is a very crude example of one specific rule set, and this happens to be, I believe, for routing, and is actually showing you the programs, the specific alert groups, etc., and each one of these can get expanded, and it would actually look something like this, and this would show you if the LOINC equals any one of these specific LOINCs, it will then route it to the appropriate endpoint consumer. Now, this actually can be interjected into any point within our pipeline. So if you want to filter at a global level, you can filter at a global level and route at a global level. If you want to filter at a lower level to a specific program or a specific application, you can do that as well. So it's a pretty comprehensive solution. And as you can see here, you can either activate or deactivate. So if you have a LOIN code that you're not particularly using at this point or time, or if you want to do different types of analysis based on an outbreak that's happening, you flip a switch. That's it. Okay, this is actually, you get a lot of people coming up here, and it looks like smoke and mirrors for the most part, because you're not exactly seeing these things run. But these are actually the underlying Drools approval process rules that are actually implemented and in production today at the Southern Nevada Health District. Okay, now going back to messaging versus ELR. So far we've actually concentrated on ELR, but what happens if a message comes in and from an investigator standpoint, I need to go get supplemental information back from that provider? Well, Drools also facilitates us looking at that, interrogating that message, and then making that request back to the provider, or NUHIN, or Direct, or wherever that request needs to go. So essentially, you can actually put it into a holding tank and say, stay here and wait for your companion to come back, and then we'll consume you, or you can actually consume it directly. And those rules are flexible, and at the end of the day, it's the public health professional who actually authors them and deploys those rules. So the message can come back, it would get rerouted, attached to whatever its component is, and then consumed by its consumer. In this case, is an open source disease surveillance system, which I'm not sure you're all familiar with, because it's called Trisano. And Trisano can consume the 2.3, 2.5 messages, and has a pretty robust open source solution for disease reporting and investigation. So that's my talk, and I appreciate your time, and I tried to make it as fast as possible, J.A., because I know we're limited time.
No, definitely take time. Thank you so much.
This is an architecture, in case any of you are interested. I do have some prints of this.
So let's take some Jeffrey-specific questions now. Who has one? Wait, we must talk into the thing for our virtual attendees.
I was just wondering if there's any handouts.
I'll give you my card, and if you'd like to email me, I actually have a comprehensive overview of the architecture and how we're going to be open sourcing it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'd like to acknowledge Susan Motice, who's actually in the audience, and John Reed, who are our partners in Utah, who have actually helped in the development of this architecture. Thank you.
Yes, the contact information for all the panelists will be shown on during the final thing, so you can definitely write that down. Any other questions for Jeffrey?
I'm loud enough, I think, without that. But with the Drools application, is that something, have you seen that integrated within a Rhapsody workflow? Or is that, I'm thinking in my head, it'd probably be pretty easy to do, just wondering if that's been done.
Actually, so if you're interested, we have all the standardized classes and everything, so we've defined all of that. So we've saved you the work. So we've actually front-ended it with the Smart GWT and kept true to Drools and their development efforts. So you can actually slap on what's a public health front end. So it's actually geared toward public health. This is a public health solution. And so for rules repositories, what do you need in public health? You need to route things, you need to validate them, you need to reconcile them. What other things that you would need? Validation within your disease surveillance and investigation system. So if you have hooks there, you can then apply those rules to that as well. So I can actually give you all of the everything that we've got, all of the code. Yeah.
Thanks.
Are there other questions for Jeffrey? I have a question. I didn't want to ask if anybody else had one, but I have a question. It's a two-part question, Jeffrey. So two questions. One, what happens if you're not in Southern Nevada and you don't have this excellent system to fall back on? What do the other portions of the state use? And the second part is, how do the data, what's your relationship with the state health department? And do you send them data, and how, and what format?
Sure. To answer your first question, this is open source. Everything in the stack is open source. All of the ties are open source. And anyone in this room who is struggling with ELR, I would say, let's have a chat. This is a very important component, and it is a standardized component. And a lot of research and effort went into actually building this framework. My relationship with the state. Complicated. Actually, you know, it's very good. They send us basically LabCorp aggregates the data. So LabCorp would come into the state. Quest reports directly to us via a hypersend mechanism, which is antiquated. But LabCorp is an aggregated full set of state reportables, and I get the full set in a batch and have to parse it out, and that's daily. And then we have CPL, which is also online, and then we have our state labs as well.
So in Nevada, the laboratories report to the directly to the local health department. Is that all laboratories or just the ones that are doing ELR?
So all of the laboratories per NRS all are legally mandated to report directly to the local health jurisdiction. The reason for that is that there are too many potential areas for error. So that introduction of, you know, another step or another change in the mix, you know, whether that be as far as, you know, my peers see this as, you know, an HIE or some other mechanism where that message could get filtered or diverted, and how would you know, if something wasn't being reported to you? So, you know, there's a give and take there, of course, but that's why that legal mandate was put in place.
Okay, thank you. Stephen, do you have a question?
Wouldn't your system, as you've implemented, nullify that statement?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's one of the reasons we built it this way specifically, was to catch errors. So if we know that there, you know, you can do, you know, almost like a probabilistic or some type of trend, and look at if I'm getting, you know, typically 10 of these every, you know, I can look seasonal right in the background where nobody would have to monitor it, and based on, you know, a logic engine say, oh, you know, I need to contact them or alert somebody that I haven't seen a report of X, Y, or Z, and it's that season, you know, whatever that.
So I guess back to the original question, each of your local agencies have one of these set up, or only you in Southern Nevada?
No.
And if so, why aren't you just sharing with everybody else there?
Well, and that's so Southern Nevada is the health authority.
Right.
So we are the only people that actually have the architecture or need in Southern Nevada. We have actually made this available to the state and other jurisdictions as well. At this point in time, they're going through a transitional phase, so I'm not exactly sure, you know, what their end solution will be.
Understood.
Hopefully this will be it. You're welcome.
I have a question.
Sorry.
So you're saying the data goes to you from the lab, and then the state have their own EOR system, right?
That's correct.
And then the data go from their EOR to the surveillance system, or how your data connect with the surveillance?
Okay, so our surveillance system in Nevada is a little bit different as well. So as you saw,